Welcome back to Gals and Goblins. I am your Goblin Master, Jared Voswico, and with me as always are the gals, Lily Persifield.
Sawyer Cinderfoot, I feel like we're going to find out why Chet's like that.
Campbell Duffy.
Esta of House Ruidon. Ooh, that was a close one.
And Olivia Rose McCain.
Beans, I guess we're going to see what it's really like to get in a cat fight with your best friend.
Oh.
Did you hear that? You said best friend.
Oh, we'll touch on that after the recap. We have some little, I have a little interesting thing I want to do.
Okay.
He's been scheming all day. It sounded like he's been shaking the bars of his cage. It sounded like he's been like hacking the mainframe on his computer all day.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so first things first, we are going to start off with the recap. Sorry, I turned it off. We were listening to Lady Gaga first, and the vibes have fallen.
Bad romance.
Bad romance.
Now the vibes are like...
Now
scary, suspenseful, ambient synth sound.
And somebody tried to play footsie with me under the table.
Sorry. Last time on Gals and Goblins, the gals met the crew of the Southern Wind, Lee, Toby, and Margie, a ragtag bunch of goofballs who would fly with them to Cato, the Hanging City, and assist on their simple quest to deliver 6 Pegasus eggs to the stables. Pretty easy. On the way, the ship began mysteriously stalling. Have you... more than it usually does. Beans went to investigate and found their pilot, Toby, fast asleep in the dark engine room, accompanied by one of Beans' sisters, Apple. Surprised to see Beans on the ship, Apple offered his friend's safety if Beans handed over Margie. Beans refused, and Apple said he can change his mind at any time. She then disappeared, and the ship began a free fall. Esta jumped onto the controls and began piloting the ship. Beans tried repairing the engine, and Sawyer helped Margie with keeping the ship in the air. Beans began interrogating Margie about why she would be special. After showing signs of discomfort, Sawyer stepped in and defended Margie.
Boo.
Eventually, the crew successfully landed the ship at the docks of Cato to be met by Chet's parents, but Margie is currently nowhere to be found, and that is where we are now. But we're going to start off a little different.
What does this guy have planned?
So if I can have Campbell and Lily stay at the table, Olivia to leave, go into one of the other rooms.
Do I need to put like headphones in?
I mean,
yeah, you better plug your ears.
You can plug your ears, do something, just don't listen.
Okay. Yo,
I'm gonna watch TikToks.
I'm so
don't listen.
I feel like somebody just took my pants off. Nervous. I'm so freaked out.
I feel like somebody just
took my pants off.
Or like I just like my shirt just like disappeared. Like I feel so weird without her sitting there.
It's just me. Okay, so
Gals and Goblins is the only podcast that takes your pants off.
That takes your pants off.
Oh my god.
As soon as Olivia left, Rosie came back. Like, it looks like she transformed.
Rosie's taking Olivia's spot. Okay, so what we're going to do first is we're going to kind of get a vibe check of Sawyer. If you remember at the end or kind of in the middle of the arguing on the ship, Bean said, don't blame him if your friend gets taken to hell because you didn't say anything, Sawyer, insinuating that it would be your fault. Something else Sawyer thinks about is how does Beans feel about his family? He doesn't really talk about them a lot. Also, this is a boy. He just doesn't get it. He's not one of the gals. And also, you remember what Felicity told you, that her loyalties lie with your family. And the Golden Order has her body, the Silver Crown has her conscience and mind, but her family and your family has her heart. And the last words Felicity spoke to you before you didn't see her again were, you need to know where your heart belongs. So what is Sawyer thinking right now as you can't find Margie? You've had a little argument with Beans. Where are your priorities at?
So Sawyer is, I'm looking kind of around like the different corners of the ship, and like I'm not immediately seeing her. Mm-hmm. So like I'm freaking out and my emotions are like rising and rising and rising with the anxiety that I can't find her, and like the insinuation that like Beans is basically said like, this is your fault. And even though like logically that isn't true, if anything, it's Beans's fault, because he's the one who brought, it's his sibling. He's the one who brought Apple here. And even though Sawyer doesn't know like the full situation, she knows enough to know. She knows it was Apple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I'm just making sure that like Sawyer knows that,
yeah,
as well.
And also he said that like it's his sister.
Yeah, and it's like, so it's like, it's your fault. It's your fault with the Bryonite stuff. And it's like, I was going to like defend you, and I was going to like stand by your side against all the forces of hell coming towards you. And now, like, my friend, who probably would have stood with you too, you have just been like, hope she has fun in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think there's, like, a little bit of shock there. But also, I think even if Beans hadn't said that, Sawyer would still blame herself. She took her eyes off Margie. The last thing that Margie signed to Sawyer in our secret language was, love ya.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so flustered that I didn't sign anything back. And I think, like, the fact that I didn't sign anything back, because I froze in the moment when she said that, is just like playing over and over. Like that image of her signing it and then me like not signaling anything back is just playing over and over and over again, because like I might not see her again. And yeah, it's like I've known her for a really long time. I've known Beans for 4 days. So
yeah,
I think I am thinking a lot about what Felicity said about where your heart lies, because my heart definitely already did lie with Margie. And even though like Beans has joined her there, it's like, I can't pit them against each other. But like, it seems like the universe is pitting them against each other.
Uh-huh. Mm. Okay. Thank you, Sawyer. Can you go switch places?
No!
Can you go switch places with Olivia?
Okay.
You get to stay.
This is crazy.
And listen to this.
Ooh. I get to hear both sides of the story.
Well, I mean, I was thinking, you know, there's not like... Esta's not in the beef. Esta has her own stuff, and I was going to say your stuff whenever everyone's here. But I mean, you're kind of the friend in the middle, though.
Yeah.
Which is a position which to be.
A valid position.
That, like the friend who hears the venting.
Yeah. They're fighting in there. Oh my God. Oh no, I just heard a punch.
Are you guys okay?
Oh my God.
Okay.
Okay, so what shit should we talk about, Lily?
Okay, so Beans. A question that Beans has been asking himself is probably, does Sawyer know what it is that makes Margie special? And also, you remember what Cherry said to you, Beans, is that you will need your friends because your father is preparing. And also, since your time in Little Branch, how does Beans feel in relation to his connection to hell?
I think Beans is definitely feeling like closer to his connections, but not in a way where it's like he's feeling good about it. Just like he feels like we're getting closer to hell, like literally like physically, like things from hell are keep appearing more and more. So he feels like it's almost like this closing in and that he can't like run from it. But he also feels the duality of like, they saved Little Branch. They got like a hero's send off. They got like, they saved the school. Like he's feeling like a hero. And in his head, like heroes don't come from hell.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like confusing thing that he's having to deal with. Okay.
And so about Beans's feelings about his sister Apple and also Margie, what is Beans feeling?
Then? Fear. Scared.
How close was Beans to getting over Margie?
If the ship was starting to go down and it was like actually life or death, like it wasn't going to be like silly that we crash and have to figure out how to get to the Hanging City, I was willing to make the sacrifice.
Okay.
Because I think for Beans, it's like his friends are his top priority, and he wants to protect the people that are friends of his friends. But when it comes down to it, like he will make these hard, difficult decisions, even though he knows it would be wrong. And I don't think he quite understands that, like, that would maybe ruin his friendship with Sawyer. Like, I don't think he's thought that far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so, like, scared of Apple and he understands the hierarchy of his family, and Apple's in the middle. So if this is the mission she sent on, it's fairly important, but that means there's more above her that are doing even more important things, and that just scares him. Family, I don't think means the same to his family that it does to like Sawyer's family.
Gotcha. Okay. Does one of you want to go get Sawyer and bring her back?
No, I thought we could do it without her.
No, we can't.
So that was like everything that we just said, we told to Esta?
I mean, not really. I mean, honestly, that's more of like an Esta insight check on her two friends who's outside of the situation.
Okay. Yeah.
And also, I mean, I think that Esta is going to like remember every single thing that was talked, or maybe that was told to Esta at some point. But that was basically to give Campbell, the player, a feeling and attachment to both persons' situation.
Cool, cool, cool. And so that it wasn't who was the most convincing and mean in the moment to slay her?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And then,
how mean were you? I was not very mean to you.
All right.
I wasn't mean about you at all. I was mean.
Neither of you are mean.
And so, Esta, this is the closest you've been to a Ruadon since you left home. A lot of questions have arisen in the past several days since you left home. Priscilla is the strongest lead you have to answering the questions about Hyperia, not to mention your family lineage, the Ruadons, and whatever is happening with that little blueberry that you keep hearing. You remember that Theodrix said that he can't tell you how he became paired with you because there is a curse on him that forbids him from speaking about it. And also, this kind of fight happened on the deck of the ship. You don't know where your friend's priorities lie right now. So what we're going to do is whatever writing thing that y'all have, whether it's like on your phone or on your laptop or on your iPad, I'm going to list something out, and I'm going to make a list, and y'all are going to write them all down.
Oh.
In order, just like line by line. So we're going to start off Beans, Esta, Sawyer, Margie, Priscilla, Ruadon, Big P, Apple, and then Pegasus Eggs. I am going to give y'all 30 seconds, and I want y'all to label those one through however many there are.
Eight.
One through eight on where that ranks in a priority. Just quick.
One being top.
One being that's your number one priority that you're thinking about right now. Eight being the last thing on your mind that you think you can put off till later.
Oh, shit. Done. It feels like it's been longer than 30 seconds.
It has been. Sorry. All right, pencils down. Now you can erase that. You can tear that page off. You can crumble it up. You can scribble it. I just wanted everyone to write that down and think about it. Well, you guys see off the dock, you see a tall eagle and a smaller cardinal. The small cardinal goes, "Are you Chet's friends?" And you also hear a dock worker who's like, "All right, there's going to be about 15 gold for parking." You hear Chet's moms go, "15 gold? What second? Let me talk to him." And she goes to talk to the dock worker. What do you want to do right now? Do you want to look for Margie?
Yes.
You guys saw. Oh, also, you guys saw Broby. Beanie ship docked close to y'all, and y'all gonna get these Pegasus eggs. So Sawyer wants to get a perception check.
Yeah, or can investigation. I do investigation?
Yeah, you can do investigation.
Can I help?
Fuck.
Can I help her?
Yes, you can help her.
I'm grumbling, but I'm like helping her look through the ship.
Yep.
So you get advantage.
Okay, thank you.
Can I do perception for maybe like an official on the dock?
Oh yeah,
like a cop. I can tell my friend is missing.
Yeah, there's like a dock worker talking to the weather feathers, and then there is another dock member who's like tying down your ship to the dock.
Okay,
he's not like necessarily not a cop, but what was his second role?
10.
And that was with the help of Beans.
Yeah.
Beans opens the door to the engine room, and you guys see in the dark engine room, Margie looks like she's trying to fix
Margie!
The engine.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, I thought they got you.
What?
I thought they got you.
That could have been bad.
I'm okay. I was just trying to fix the engine. Is Toby okay?
Yeah, yeah, everyone's fine.
You guys hear up top Toby go, all right,
what day is it? I feel good to be alive.
Toby is very well rested. Let's put it that way.
Yo, okay, so is everyone okay? Seems like we're out of danger.
Yeah, yeah, I think everyone's fine. You're okay? Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, no, I'm totally fine.
Nobody took you or anything?
She like pats herself down.
Did you see anyone weird? Did you see anyone who wasn't supposed to be on the ship?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see anyone.
Okay.
Well, if you're not going to tell me any important information, all I can say is I'd stay out of dark corners if I were you, Margie, and then Beans is going to march away.
Okay. Thank you so much, little skipper.
I'm so sorry about him. I don't know.
Hey, a ship falling out of the sky can be stressful on everyone. I'll tell you that.
Well, stressful doesn't mean that you have to... Okay, I guess so.
Thank God, Margie. I was about to report you missing.
What? No. You don't talk to cops around here. No. You don't got to do that.
Margie keeps it real.
Margie says ACAB.
Yeah. Margie and Sawyer both say ACAB.
Lee jumps down from the crow's nest. Lee jumps down from the crow's nest and he goes, all right, land ho. What's first on the agenda? Do we need to? It seems like there's some people. Do y'all know a Chet? There were people down there who wanted to talk to us.
Oh, boy.
That is an acquaintance of ours.
Oh, so it's like somebody's boyfriend, I think. It's totally fine. It's totally
What'd
fine.
You just say?
Somebody's boyfriend, you know.
Yeah, Beans' boyfriend.
Hey, what?
Beans' boyfriend.
Yeah. That's freaking awesome,
Beans
dude.
And Chet actually recently got together. It's a really cute story.
Can I punch both of them in the face?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
A 17, that's for Sawyer. 17 hits. A 13 for Campbell.
You punch him straight in the face.
Is that on that one?
Oh, it's no, seven. It's seven.
Okay. That would have been hilarious.
Or you miss.
I catch your fist.
Lee goes, sorry, sensitive subject. Don't really want to touch on it. That's totally fine.
It's a really messy relationship.
Oh, whoa.
There is no relationship.
Okay? Do you want to talk about it?
No.
I understand. Toxic relationships.
This is a big prank they are playing.
Okay. All right. So these eggs, we really got to figure out what to do with these eggs.
Yes, we need to complete our mission and get these eggs to the Pegasus stables.
Well, you already have your backpacks.
Yes. So, we all have our eggs.
And you've got your eggs.
I think everyone has one egg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the six of you?
Yep.
Six eggs.
I guess we can talk to Chet's parents. They're locals. And we can ask them.
Yeah.
We don't want to check out Bro Weenie's ship.
Oh, yeah. Let's go prank it or something. What's a good prank?
Set it on fire.
That is good prank.
Yeah, that's a classic prank.
Oh, okay.
We could throw an arcano ball through all the windows.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Kind of an inconvenience. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that's
I
my like favorite that. Genre of prank.
Yeah, like the wind is going to be whistling through the windows all the way home like a flute.
Yeah, totally. It's going to be so annoying.
That's good. So we throw them through the windows and set it on fire? Mega prank?
Maybe setting it on fire would get us some rest.
Toby.
What about toilet paper? I've seen you throw toilet paper on things. Is that?
Oh.
Yes.
And then get it wet.
Oh.
Toilet paper is a classic move.
Toby goes, what ship are we talking about? Well, are we going to fuck somebody's ship up?
Yeah, there's this mean girl at our school and her ship is parked right next
to
us.
Wait, that ship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know it?
Well, yeah, those are the... We took those boys out on a quest a couple days ago. Those are the Crimson Brothers. And they fucking suck.
Oh, what? That's perfect.
Yeah, okay. Let's fuck it up.
Wait. What kind of genre of pranks do you like?
Lee chimes in and he goes, I mean, I'm super down with, like, throwing stuff into their windows.
Ooh, throwing stuff into their windows. I don't want to profile as a pirate.
Like rocks.
It seems
like
I have a fun idea.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
What if, when we leave, we take their ship and leave them a note that they can borrow our ship?
But Toby worked really hard on the ship, so...
Oh, Toby, no offense. It is just
Oh, you got something to say about my ship?
No, nothing
the
at
southern
all.
Wind I is did really like this idea.
I just think that the southern wind would be a difficult fly for anyone without your expertise.
And maybe they'll die on the way back.
Give me a persuasion check.
I like this idea.
We can.
He's got to think about it. He goes, yeah, I don't think another living soul could pilot this, which I got to say to you, congrats. You know, a wonderful fly from you.
Oh, thank
Absolutely
you.
Absolutely excellent
thank
fly.
You.
What'd you get on your persuasion?
15.
He goes, oh, I think possibly they could fly it back and or try to at least. And
can I give you?
And first things first, we got to steal the ship whenever we leave. So. Yeah. We can come up with it as we go. I'm down with
Toby,
the idea,
Toby,
though.
Toby, I think you could do it.
I think we can do it.
Could I propose compromise? I'm learning about compromise. Well, in some situations, not all.
You punched me 10 seconds ago.
I said some situations. I'm learning about compromise. What if we take Southern Wind and their ship? We got enough people. We could split half season, half on their ship,
and
half on ours.
Them here.
That
all
would be
I'm
fun.
Is if we plan to take their ship. Then we don't get to prank it now. And if they finish their quest before us, then they leave with their ship unpranked.
Margie goes, that's a very good point.
Does anybody have like an alarm spell so we can know when they're like heading back?
No.
I mean, we can maybe ask the dock workers.
Yeah, we can ask the dock workers if they're narcs or not.
I feel like I can't pay them enough to tell me when they come back.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah.
Do we see Brobini or the Golds or the Crimson Brothers anywhere around?
Give me perception checks.
If anybody else wants to.
Everyone.
Oh, I got a 13.
13.
Dirty 20.
Mm.
18.
So now that you are all at city level, you kind of see now how big the city is relative to you. You feel small. It's very condensed with buildings hugging each other. City blocks are interconnected by some kind of rope, wood, or metal. So there are spaces here and there between like streets and buildings so that you can see beneath the city, which is just dark nothingness going into a fog. You feel like if you fell from this height that you're dead. high above you, you see several naturally formed archways made of rock where you can see the city continues upside down. So the buildings look like stalactites in a cave. Underneath the level that you are currently docked at, there is another section of buildings also hanging upside down, exactly like the buildings above you. Hanging from one of the overhead arches directly over the center of the city is the tallest or the longest building, which at this moment you hear a bell tolling, signaling that it is about 2 p.m. You guys have been flying pretty much all day. Also, the streets are packed with trolleys and carriages, so it's really hard to like get an idea of like who some people are. The trolleys and carriages are, you know, going about their business. They're stacked with goods for trade. You see hundreds of beings walking the streets or flying. You get a closer look now at the majority of the inhabitants are not necessarily humanoids, like elves or humans or honestly even tieflings, but it consists of mainly animal beings such as like Aarakocra, which you know started the city, Owlin, Leonins, which are large lions who walk on two legs, kobolds, minotaurs, Herringon, turtles, and even some tabaxi. There are some elves and some tieflings and some halflings and humans sprinkled around, but with the dirty 20 and the 18, you guys see some golds with their armor on and some tall boys in some long black and red robes that disappear down one of the streets, and they seem to be following some kind of knights. They're in silver armor, though. So that's what you see about the city, and yeah, and you can assume that that's probably Brobini and the Crimson Boys.
I throw my ball through their windows.
You throw a ball. You start throwing the ball through the ship windows, and you see a dock worker coming. He's like, hey, wait, is this your ship?
Yep, that's our ship.
Okay, cool. All right. He walks away.
I've never done this on purpose before.
I grab toilet paper from the bathroom on the Southern Wind and start
throwing it everywhere.
We used to do this in the shrubberbs all the time.
I put my hands like on a really big window and just tase it and it shatters. Like it like vaporizes the glass.
Can I have one of your toilet paper roll?
Yeah, I'm passing toilet paper. I go, okay, everybody on the way back, just hold it, okay? No ping and pooping on the way back.
Margie, go long!
Margie runs long.
I spiral her a beautiful soaring ribbon of toilet paper over across the ship.
She like puts her hands like a bat, but like she just is gonna swing a bat, but then like smacks it back over so that the toilet paper like flies back over the ship back to you.
Yes, yes, yes. Toby and Lee, what's y'all's prank style?
Toby is, he's like eating the wood off of the ship.
I like your spunk, Toby.
Oh my goodness.
Lee is riding on like the back of the ship so that no one can see it. He is drawing a picture of a tiefling pooping.
I've been carving into like the planks of the ship, like right when you walk on. I've been carving nails, Wendell and Chet was here. With Sawyer's help, of course, to form the letters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm teaching you the letters.
Yeah, you're helping me write them.
Yeah.
Can I set something to trigger when they walk on the ship?
Do you have something that you'd be able to do that with?
I have prestidigitation, but I don't know if I can set it as like...
Tell me what you would want to do.
Well, I wanted to do like...
If it's going to like kill them or
no,
something.
No.
If you want it to be silly, then yeah, we can do it.
I want to make like when they step on the ship, I want it to be like...
Or like the SpongeBob like
and then I wanted to like set off a fart bomb.
Yes. Okay. You can set that. You can totally set that up.
Perfect.
Cool. Yeah, you've learned some trick of the trade at Frogmont and also with your siblings.
As Beans and I are kind of stepping back and admiring our handiwork, I say to you, hey, just so you know, Margie's really, really important to me, and we've been friends for a long time. So whenever I thought Apple took her, that was really, really scary.
So do you understand why I thought it was really important to know information that might help me?
Yeah, but Margie's feelings are more important.
More important than possibly her life?
Well, she's still here, isn't she?
But she might not be for long. I'm just telling you, Apple is not a good person to have after you.
Well, I'm not a good person to have after you either.
I would rather you be after me than Apple, if I'm being completely honest. And Apple is probably a little after me, too.
Really?
She didn't sound ecstatic to see me.
Well, I can protect you and Margie.
I just think the way my family works is a little bit different than yours, so don't count on that I have some sort of sway with her.
Well, I'm fine with not swaying her. She tried to take Margie, didn't she?
Well, if I wasn't there, I think she probably would have just killed everyone and taken her.
So you stopped her from killing everyone?
Well, I mean, she did still send the ship down, but...
But we handled it. We survived.
Yeah, but... I'm just saying this is not like... I don't mean this in a bad way. This is not like drama on the Arcano ball field type of thing. This is like... Could go burn in hell, be minion of lords of hell kind of stuff.
Well, Margie's her own person. I can't make her do anything, and so I'm going to let her make her own decision. We should tell her what's going on, and then she can choose if she wants to tell us anything. She's not, like, an extension of me.
That's fair. I just don't want you to be upset if something happens to her.
Well, of course I'll be upset if something happens to her. And of course I'll be upset if she gets her feelings hurt about whatever you were talking about. I just... We've been through a lot of adventure in the past few days, and we've kind of gotten things put into perspective for us. But maybe Margie hasn't had that exact same thing yet.
I guess I'm just trying to keep her from having to put things into perspective. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, clearly she knows something that's super valuable, so... Maybe she's faced more danger than we have. I don't know, but it's not for me to
You guys both want the same thing.
That's the chimes in.
Have you been here the whole time?
Yeah, I've been standing directly behind you guys.
Oh my God. We should look up more often.
Where did you think the shade was coming from?
Oh, I thought there was a cloud.
You guys both want the same thing, to keep Margie out of hell. I think Margie should be given all the information to make her own informed decision about it.
What's Margie doing right now?
The three crew members of the Southern Wind are, like, they're finishing up what they are working on. Margie's, like, wrapping the kind of, like, mast at the front of the ship in toilet paper and, like, hopping down. And Lee is, like, pushing the finishing touches of his painting. And Toby's has, like, a piece of wood in his hand that he's just kind of munching on.
These guys are good.
Maybe just tell her what's going on and don't ask anything yet. Just tell her the information.
Okay.
I know that we were falling out of the sky at the time, but going straight in with the interrogation clearly didn't work.
Well, it had a chance of working, right?
Well,
I was taking advantage of situation. I'm not going to say I was trained in the best tactics my whole life, you know?
Yeah, well, I know her better than tactics. And I think that there wasn't a big chance. But that doesn't matter now. We're safe, still hanging in the air, and we could fall to our deaths at any moment. So let's just tell her what we know.
Okay. I should also say that I don't know, like, even if Apple got Margie or we protect Margie, I don't know if that keeps us safe from Apple coming after us next if we get in the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been ready to fight Apple since I found out she existed. So.
Okay. That is just my warning of everybody.
Oh my God. Is this how you feel about Felicity?
Yes.
This is worse.
Yes, I don't think Felicity is quite as scary as Apple.
Felicity's not taking anyone to hell, at least.
But do you understand why you can have zero allegiance to Apple, but have so much allegiance or not want to hurt Felicity?
Yeah, but don't you kind of want to fight Apple?
I kind of want to fight, but not necessarily kill.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Felicity,
too. You know
what
I mean? Yeah. Apple's been through things I can't even imagine that has changed her, but I can sympathize with.
Okay, let's tell Margie.
Okay, Margie.
Yoo-hoo. What's going on, guys? Oh, it's pretty good work you did.
Good work in there, yeah.
Thanks.
I see that crisscross up there on the mast.
Oh, yeah, I did it really, I kind of like double layered it and I used two different things so that like if they just pull one off, they have to pull like multiple off. It's not just like one string.
You're so good. Yeah,
it's going to be a pain in the butt.
Margie, I know I came on little strong on the ship while it was falling from the sky.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I was trying to use a manipulative interrogation tactic, but for your own good. I was not doing it to harm you. I was doing it to help you because
I whack you.
I was going to say, like, you know, if you're like using manipulative tactics for good that you think is good, then it's still manipulative. The apology was wonderful until you kind of like established yourself. I'm sorry. I shouldn't get in your way.
I agree. I also don't remember saying sorry. Anyway.
Wait, what was that?
That was under my breath and you could not hear it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't, Margie, don't apologize.
Oh,
I mean, wait, no, that's not what I meant. I meant, you can say whatever you want.
Okay. Beans hits you.
I hate you back.
You guys, Margie, are always hitting each other. In the short time that I've seen you together, you guys have punched each other.
Margie, what I am trying to say is, I come from a very scary line of people who are very initiated, integrated, big part of hell. And when I saw my sister and she was asking for you, I got really nervous. And you're Sawyer's friend, therefore you are also my friend. So I did not want you to... What do you want me to do with your hand right now?
She had her hand out whenever Beans said that you're my friend.
I give it a high five.
She high-fived.
It sticks together.
Oh, you don't have to hold it. I was just going for a high five.
Oh, that was not me holding it. Sorry. That's just how I feel.
That's good then.
But my sister, not good person to have after you. So I was trying to get information to help you. You don't have to tell me anything if you don't want to.
Okay.
But I think it would be beneficial for us all, and we could help you if you did. I don't want to do anything with the information you have other than
help you and keep you out of the wrong hands, but I don't think we can effectively do that if we don't know why people are after you. I yield my time.
If you knew... thank you so much. If there was something up with me and I told you there was something and it changed how things were, that would then change the way that you approach this situation. But I don't want that to change the way that it approaches anything. If there's someone coming after me, then I think we'll just have to like fight her. Doesn't matter who I am or what I am or what I might be. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I said the same thing, which is we'll just fight her. So yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is not a simple situation as we fight her or don't fight her.
I feel like the only information... I'm sorry, this is just my reading of the situation. The only reading that I could get from it is that if you learned anything, then you could make an easier decision on if you should turn me over or not.
I'm going to be honest. I don't really want to turn anybody over to Apple.
We're not going to turn you over no matter what.
Hey, as somebody who grew up with her, and you know those pranks we're pulling? We had pranks back home too, but they weren't quite this fun. So based on my knowledge of that, I don't want to turn you over to Apple. I want to better protect you. Unless you said something like insane, like I killed 7 puppies before I got here and that's why she wants me. That's like a different story.
Haven't killed 7 puppies. Is your sister the defender of puppies?
Could be. I don't know.
Even if she was, she wouldn't have anything to do with me.
I'm just saying that's the vibe.
Okay, now that we all know the situation, I think that now we all know the situation.
You guys hear Chet's parents behind y'all say.
Oh my God.
Chet's friends? Yeah. Chet's friends?
Yes.
Acquaintances?
You see this little cardinal run up to you all. She is short and round.
Do her feet click clack on the wooden plank?
Of course they click clack.
Oh my God.
And she goes, well, it's very nice to meet. I'm so sorry. I just have to say this out loud. I'm just so happy that Chet has friends. And it's a pleasure to meet you all. This is my husband.
It is so nice to meet you, Mr. and Mrs. Weatherfeather.
I have good news. He has more friends than us. You heard of Wendell and Nails?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He has friends.
Those are his best friends.
Greg. That's good to know.
You two are going to love Wendell and Nails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I am Maeve Weatherfeather, and this is my husband, Buddy Weatherfeather. And you guys see like the big, tall eagle just goes like, yep. And then the cardinal goes back to talking to you all. She goes, oh, and who are these with you? I haven't heard tell of who you're on your quest with. And I don't want to intrude at all, but who are these happy little fellows?
Oh, our questing partners?
Yeah, yeah.
These are the crewmates and the captain of the Southern Wind. Are you guys co-captains or?
Lee goes, I like to think myself, you know, a bit of the captain, and Toby is also the captain, but he's the pilot. And Margie is kind of like our captain, if that makes any sense.
That's really cleared it up for me personally.
Good, yeah.
And Margie is my best friend and our cannonball teammate. Well, not anymore. Now we're rivals.
Margie is waving, and then she gets into like a fighting stance. Maeve Weatherfeather goes, well, it's so wonderful to meet you. I was thinking that, you know, we could maybe show you around the city. I just wanted to offer up. You know, it's lunchtime. I don't know if you had lunch recently. I know you've probably been sailing all day. We have lunch at our house, and you maybe get some tea. And maybe we could point you in a direction if you need some help. I know it's a big city.
That would be great. Levels. I'm starving.
Would be delighted.
We are looking for lunch.
Good.
Could we... Is there any way the Pegasus stable is near where we are so we could just... Drop these things off?
Yeah. We can show you off on the way to our home, and you can drop those off and then meet us because we don't want to be there on your quest. We don't want to interrupt. but you guys can drop those off, and then we'll see you at the house and we can have lunch and tea.
Perfect.
That
sounds perfect. Yes.
Great. Yes.
Perfect. Great.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Weatherfeather.
You see, Buddy Weatherfeather goes, yep.
I give him finger guns.
He shoots finger guns right back and goes, yep.
oh wow.
They start walking back, and they lead you through the city. As you walk through the city, it's very lively. There are some street performers putting on a puppet show depicting four people coming together and fighting a devil with the help of an angel. There's the sign above them saying the Golden Four. You smell strong spices, strange meats, steamed vegetables, mouthwatering sweets.
Is there anything, is there any food on a stick near me?
There, every single food is on a stick.
Oh my god. This is like heaven.
I'm looking for octopus on a stick.
Yeah, yeah. There's like different types of.
Why are you looking at me like that, Campbell?
You see, there's like fish on a stick. You see that there's squid on a stick, octopus on a stick.
I want a squid, a fish, and an octopus on a stick, please.
You go up to a little counter, and you guys got like all these sticks with meat on them, and he goes, "All right, okay, here you go. It's on the house. You're welcome back here."
Whoa, I would like a weenie on a stick, please.
Weenie on a stick. Let me see if I still got one of those.
He opens a suitcase, and there's a bunch of, like, you see that the suitcase is actually, like, a grill, he just, like...
Like those guys who, like, make the grills out of the coolers along yeah. Where the football games are. I don't know if you guys have seen those.
Tailgating?
Yeah. No. These are, like, they're, like, street carts, but, like, they're definitely just, like, a cooler and, like, a piece of metal, and they're, like, grilling up fucking hot dogs on the drag.
Two weenies, one stick, if you have that.
Two weenies, one stick. All right. Well, welcome to Gato, then.
He hands you a stick with two weenies on it.
Thank you. She's with me, so is that on the house, too?
Yeah. No, y'all seem like, you know, I can tell, Adventuring Academy students whenever I see them. So I just want to, welcome y'all on your mission.
I thought we were blending in like locals.
You guys, like, this is like a city that, like, you know, everyone seems like they know what they're doing. You guys are just like kids. And
bean eggs.
Yeah, the eggs. Beans also
looks at you guys and look at all.
Of Frogmont.
And like looks at all like the animal folk around and was like, I think one of us could maybe blend in like locals, maybe not.
Also,
all
you are like a weird tabaxi because you're like just a regular cat.
I'm like small.
Yeah, and you're like a small brown cat. Where the tabaxi you all see like walking around like tall and lithe and
yeah, like I'm cheetahs.
Yeah, cheetahs. They look a little bit more ferocious.
I'm gonna be honest, I'm acting so normal right now, but like this is, I have never been to a big city like this.
I haven't either. I've never seen suburbs.
It was pretty much all halflings.
I've never seen any other tabaxis other than like, you know, like my family. This is first time.
I mean, the first time I saw you and Esta, in my head I was like, whoa. But I didn't say anything because I think that would be weird.
I feel like you...
What do you mean?
I think you did say that out loud, to be honest.
Yeah. But, you know...
Well, probably when Beans got on the ship, for sure.
I don't know. I guess I didn't have a very diverse childhood. It just, I don't know, just in the suburbs, it was mostly halflings. But this is really cool. But also, I'm trying to act normal about it because I feel like if I act like, whoa, this is so cool, then people will be like, oh, little halfling, never been to the big city.
Margie tunes in. She goes, you saying that like, oh, little like halfling, I haven't been to the big city, might seem uncool. You saying that gives us a bad rep, okay?
Oh, no,
you're giving us a bad rep. You gotta act like you belong, Sawyer. Like you belong.
Yeah,
I'm acting. I got two weenies. Do you want one?
Yeah, I'll take a weenie. She just like grabs one off the stick.
I put all three sticks of the seafood in my mouth and like take big bites out of all of them. Like,
I break the stick in half so she can also have hers on a stick.
Yeah, she should have two smaller sticks.
Esta, do you want some?
In Estea, we had fried kraken on a stick. Do you have any of that?
Oh, fried kraken.
Kraken.
You see, he like goes down some steps.
I hope that's on the house, too.
Like, opens down a trap door.
I think she can afford it.
Smoke just pours out of the trap door. He comes back up with, like, 2-foot-long tentacle. and he goes, yeah, we got kraken on a stick for you right here.
I would, like, just, like, a slice of that. Yeah.
He, like, cuts it down the middle, so it's still like 2 feet long. It's just thinner. All right, cracking on a stick.
All right, who's sharing with me?
May.
I will stick to my knees.
Toby jumps on and he goes, I'll share that for you.
I eat the little like thin dangly end at the end. All right. Thank you, kind merchant.
Have a good day.
God bless you.
Okay.
Each and every one of you.
Okay, buddy. Just okay. Don't have to say. Hey, don't say that to, like, anybody else. That's just kind of like weird. All right. You guys walk down the city streets. You guys see some like tieflings arguing about spices. You see off in an alleyway like a herringon, a tabaxi, and kobolds are like gambling on some kind of dice game.
Oh my God, are they doing drugs down there?
Beans.
I think so. Walk faster.
Okay. Sorry.
Beans, just, you see this, you see like a cloaked figure walking towards you, grabs one of like the fish stick out of your mouth and like puts it in their mouth. And then you like look up and you see just like big, bright red eyes of Apple looking down at you. And she like takes a chomp out of the fish and then just like walks back into the crowd. Also, her eyes like shift towards Margie a little bit. You guys hear like a crack of a bat on a ball above you. And then you guys hear some kids. You guys look up. You guys see some like little Owlin and Aarakocra kids like playing like a very lamed down version of Arcano Ball, which is just baseball now.
Yo!
They can fly. Circle is complete.
It's like soccer, like you can't use your hands, like they make themselves not fly.
You guys see some elves in full plate armor that seem to be like patrolling the streets. They're in that silver armor that you saw Brobini and the Crimson Boys.
Wait, what are they?
Just like some knights in some full plate armor.
I thought you said they're race.
And they're elves.
Elves, okay.
Yeah. Which the full armor makes them stand out in the crowd, and then like the fact that they're elves also makes them stand out in the crowd.
Do they have any sigils like on their armor?
Yeah. Give me a perception check, investigation, or whatever you got.
Can I flip two?
It's a 9.
Actually, Esta, give me advantage on that.
I got a 21.
That's still a 9. Okay.
Esta is looking closer at their armor to see sigils. One of the balls, like the ball that the kids are playing with, comes like streaking towards y'all. I'm going to need Sawyer. Give me a dexterity saving throw.
I got it. 8. Oh, wait, saving throw?
Yeah.
Oh, same thing, 8.
The ball like whacks you on the head. Oh! There is like a little parakeet kid flies down.
Hey, watch it!
And he goes, oh, sorry about that.
And as he goes to pick up the ball, you guys see a blue gauntleted hand snatches the ball up. And he goes,
hey, little one, do not be messing with the ball of the Arcano, okay? You just hit this civilian.
Oh, no, it's fine. We were just, I'm part of the game. We were just playing around.
Clearly hit you, and you said, hey, watch it.
That's just part of the rapport.
I'm confiscating this ball.
Athlete.
You guys see that this is a huge knight with slightly blue tinted armor.
And he's an elf.
Sawyer, I mean, Esta, you don't recognize any of the sigils, but I will say this is a person that you would have seen before. This is a guy whose name is Curd. And his name is Curd.
He's an elf named Curd.
Curd. And
how do you spell that? Like cheese curd?
K-U-R-D.
Oh, wow.
He's like half blonde on one side and like half brown, like hair divided down the middle. He has like a green eye and a blue eye. And he is like a mountain of a man about the size of like the Briar Knight. And you know, like he's a huge dude. And you know that this is one of your father's appointed bodyguards.
Oh. No way.
You don't see your father anywhere around. But this is like one of your father's like guys who follows him around and like protects him in the capital.
Curd, what are you doing here?
Esta, is that you?
Yes.
Funny seeing you here.
While this interaction is happening, can I try to swap out the ball that he's confiscated with like a bundle of clothing that I have in my pack?
Yeah, you can like put the octopus or something right there in his hand.
I got lots of Kraken left for you.
To like sleight of hand.
Yeah, give me a sleight of hand. I'm going to say DC 16.
Do I get advantage because he's distracted?
I'm going to say no.
16?
Yeah.
16.
You beat it.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, you take the ball from his hand, and he goes, Esta.
What are you doing out of Astea?
He like leans down to you and he goes,
secret mission sent by your father, working for the governor.
And
for the governor of Cato?
Yes, Governor Frey.
Oh, Governor Frey.
Top secret business. I don't want to get into it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, you really freely give that top secret information.
Oh, come on, Kurd. You know me. You can tell me.
Nope. Lips are sealed, Esther.
I start whistling and grab Beans' hand and we go look somewhere else.
We go one, and as we wander
away. The sights of the city.
Yeah, as we wander away, I see the kid that dropped the ball and I give it back and I go, scram, okay? Don't let them see you have it.
Oh, thank you, mister.
And he flies off.
Thank you, sir. God bless everyone. I heard you say that, everyone. Says that.
No, he doesn't say
that. That's right. You say that to everyone you meet.
I learned it from you.
How is everyone back at Stormbreak in the capital?
Busy, you know, busy, and, you know, it's not often you see me, you know, leaving a stale without, you know, the big man, but, you know, you know, things are getting serious, you know, paperwork coming in, and, what? I don't want to talk about work right now. Yeah, I assume you're here with Venturing School.
Yes, we're on a quest right now.
Yeah, to bring you went to Weaselbee, right?
No, I went to Frogmont.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Pretty sure your dad said that you went to Weaselbee.
He would be wrong. He's obviously not opening his letters.
No. He's got plenty of letters getting in every day.
I'm sure he does. I'm at Frogmont.
Okay, well, I'll be sure.
And I'm doing very well, if he asks.
Good, pass the word.
Yeah, if you want to give him an update when you get home, you should tell him how well I'm doing.
We'll do. Well,
Esther saved the whole school.
I did.
Wow. I'll be sure to tell the big man.
So you should mention that.
This is Sawyer, one of my my team members. Well.
She also has been fighting like big demons and winning.
Oh, these two.
Yes. and she basically saved this whole school and the whole world. So you should mention that to your boss, who is her dad.
And also she's the bestest, coolest friend in the whole world.
Yeah, which is actually even more important than any sort of worldly achievement.
And she made the Arcano Ball team, so she's very well-rounded.
Yes, I'm...
You've been fighting demons.
Just some imps.
Yeah, just imps. I mean, not just imps, but
imps. Yeah, demons.
As I'm sure you've heard, there was some demonic activity at Frogmont.
Yes,
below
but
the school.
we did not know that you were directly involved.
Yes,
this
yes,
is very
sir.
Serious.
I start whistling again.
I go, pull up my non-existent collar.
Yes, we saved the whole school from a demonic threat. Mm.
Well, all right. I'll make sure to tell your father.
Okay. I'm sure Lord Arathis has already told him.
Yes. Lord Arathis is working. Yes. Good man. Good man, Lord Arathis.
Yes. Nice, fashionable man. Lord Arathis is overseeing the Golden Order's protection of the school now, and our new security measures there, which I'm sure you haven't heard of because you've been here on your secret mission that you can't tell me anything about.
Nope.
Are you keeping a close eye on her, Kurd?
Close eye on who?
Never mind.
I see what you're doing.
Did it look like, can I roll insight to see if that was, to see if like he like almost answered or something?
Yeah, you can roll an insight on him.
Just to try to trip him up? I shouldn't have said insight. I should have said something I'm good at.
Beans looks at you and is like, that was very good.
Can I say that was, can I roll deception? I guess I would have to roll deception and then insight.
I'm going to say insight.
2.
Okay. Mm. No.
Interesting.
This guy may be dumb, but maybe he knows stuff.
Beans gives you a thumbs up of like good tactic.
You think this guy's a strong guy?
Okay.
But you see, Kurd goes.
But all right, enough dawdling. I have to get back. And,
yes, of course. You have a mission. I have a mission.
Yes, of course. Yes, and of course. You know, if you ever need anything and you see me around town, or see one of these knights, puny knights, and he puts the hand on puts a huge hand on like a knight's helmet, and, like shakes him around. he goes, just let one of these guys know, and the world will get back to me.
Can I see the sigil that's on there?
Sigil that's on the knights is like Arakokra, kind of like a bird sigil. Oh, okay. You see the knight on his armor is like your family crest.
Yeah.
And what does Esther's family crest look like?
It's probably like the silhouette of Stormbreak on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like our big castle
cool.
by the sea.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, and but you see that...
And there's lightning in the background.
Yeah, of course.
Pressed. Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah, and obviously. You see that he says his goodbyes to you, lets you know that, you know, if you ever need anything from him, just let one of the knights know and we'll get it to him.
Cool.
And he makes his way with his little patrol.
What direction does he go?
He goes down the street a little, like, kind of opposite way that y'all are heading, and then, like, takes a right.
So it doesn't look like he's going towards where Chet's parents live?
No.
Okay. Is he out of your shot?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think he's here to keep a close eye on Priscilla? I was hoping that I was trying to trip him up and get him to say yes, because I think maybe...
I feel like she's been here for a long time, though. Like, they don't need to keep close eye on her if they know always where she is.
Yeah, and also I feel... Mm. Tara also went to Frogmont and, you know, we haven't heard anything about her. She was able to go to Frogmont for years without any detection, and she was in school records that Lord Arathis and my father would have had access to, so I don't know if they're keeping an eye on other Ruidons.
Also, didn't he say for governor?
He's on a mission for the governor.
Oh, not a mission for your dad?
A mission...
Yeah, he was, like, sent by your dad to help the governor.
Yeah, sent... secret mission. Yeah.
And also, you guys... Chet's parents were right there, and you guys see Maeve Weatherfeather chimes in, and she goes, oh, yeah, I heard he was talking about the governor. You know, kind of nasty guy, that governor, a little bit. You know, that's why those docks prices are really high. Yeah, he kind of, like, raising the prices of kind of, like, city-owned stuff or just, like, selling it to privately-owned businesses, so prices are just going up everywhere.
Well, taxation... Without representation?
Not applies to this at all, actually. This is actually kind of more of like...
I just read that in the book somewhere, to be honest.
I mean, that's, you know, that's good to know. But, you know, it's more of selling services that should be kind of like provided by the city. He's selling them to privately owned kind of more businesses.
Capitalism.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They're kind of, you know, just kind of buying up these services so that, you know, it's expensive for people to get these basic needs, you know, stuff like transportation. Right. It costs an arm and a leg to go between the levels. Now, if you want to go up to the upper level, you got to pay a bunch of money.
What's in the upper level?
Oh, big tower right there. You guys, she points to, like, the big bell tower. She goes, that's actually where you'll find Governor Frey. That's, you know, a little bit more, higher end businesses. You know, Golden Order mainly stays in that big building right there. Governor Frey, you know, is a part of it, but, you know, he usually stays here. You know, white collar stuff. Down here, you know, on the first level, on the bottom level, a little bit more, you know, your food, your trade, residential areas. Really no residential areas up there in the top.
What do you and Mr. Weatherfeather do?
Oh, well, Mr. Weatherfeather, he was a ship mechanic during the war. And then, you know, he just kind of, you know, gave that up. And now he teaches at one of the schools downtown. And I am also, I have like a little pre-K.
What? That's so cute. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, that guy sounds like a jerk. Oh. I guess I should say that quieter with all the enforcement that's going around. This is just like the HOA back home, but way more complicated and way worse.
What's an HOA?
It's like people who get mad if you throw too many Arcano balls through people's windows.
Oh, I feel like that's like, is everybody the HOA?
No, it's like they have a specific organization for it.
Oh, to get mad at people who throw Arcano balls through windows?
Yeah. Huh. Probably Bro Beanie will join after today.
You mean Bro Weenie?
Hey!
You guys are walking down the street again. Yeah. And
my dad thinks I went to Weaselbee?
Or maybe. Hey! What are you trying to say about Weaselbee right now?
Yeah, what are you trying to say about Weaselbee?
No, just nothing at all. Sorry, excuse me. I forgot my manners.
At Weaselbee, we like to say, light your own path, and may that path be brighter than the path behind you.
Did you just make that up?
Oh, look, I'm workshopping a new motto for Weaselbee.
I loved it.
It's gotta be better than Weasel Your Bee, because that's the current
one. I actually could think of nothing better than Weasel Your Bee.
It's pretty hard. We vote on it every single semester, and it always wins.
It always wins? Okay.
Well, you could think Chet's not here.
Well.
Second place is typically bee in your weasel.
Don't get a bee in your weasel.
Yeah.
Well, maybe when I'm class president, I will change Frogmont to
training my whole life. Or?
No. I was thinking.
She puts her hand up for a high five for Sawyer.
What was the weasel bee one again?
Roasted.
What was your weasel bee motto again?
It was light your path and
no,
may your
no,
path.
No, the real one.
Oh, weasel your bee.
Okay, so maybe we could be frog your moms, you know what I mean?
Ooh.
I'm sorry, guys. I really didn't want to start this, you know, dissension in Frogmont.
Anyway, Esta, maybe your dad knows where you've been, but is, like, telling people you went to Weaselbee for, like, I don't know why it would be cover, but, like...
To, like, dunk on me?
Damn, well, I wasn't going to say it in front of the Weaselbee kids, but yeah,
just
maybe...
Fuck, sorry.
Yeah, maybe your dad's trying to fucking dunk on you.
Esta, they're right there.
I'm sorry.
Not that going to Weaselbee is a dunk, but I think in Esta's world...
In my father's eyes, going to Frogmont is also a dunk, so...
Anything that's not Valkyrie is simply a dunk on Esta,
exactly.
So...
But I love Frogmont. We're doing good. No.
They take you down the street some more. You guys take a couple more turns. You guys are walking for a little bit now. And then Chet's parents go, all right, so just around this corner, you'll find the stable. And once you are on that street, just go straight until you can get to a right. And we're going to be the second house on your right.
Okay. And where's the stable?
Just around this corner on your left.
I would like to specify that I am holding Margie's hand as we're walking through the city streets.
Yeah, she's holding your hand too.
Beans
she's
is like looking around real, he's real on edge, but he hasn't told anybody.
Give me a perception check, Beans.
I don't know if I want to give you a perception.
You can opt not to.
8. Okay. What do I see?
You don't feel comfortable with the dark corners that are in the city.
Okay, well, I didn't need a perception check to tell you that.
Yeah, and so the stables are right around the corner. And Chet's parents goes, all right, and we'll leave you to it, and we'll see y'all at the house. We'll start getting some salads ready.
Okay, we'll miss you guys.
Bye.
See you in a minute.
Bye.
They like fly down.
Okay, so this is going to be like we just get in, get out, drop these eggs off?
I hope so, but I don't know, with our track record.
I'm getting nervous. My parents always told me never to go to someone's house when they're hosting you empty-handed. So I feel like we need to bring, if they're hosting us, we need to bring them a gift.
Well, it's perfect because they left, so now we can
exactly
surprise them. Yeah, we could go back and go grab something.
Yeah, but let's drop the eggs off first.
Okay. We could, maybe they have a full-grown Pegasus in here. You think they'd like that?
I don't know. It might be a big responsibility.
Mm. Yeah, it seems like a lot to dump on someone with short notice.
It's like buying someone a beetle, and it's like, what? Oh. Do they even have a garage for it?
Okay, well, my next suggestion would be like, could you hook us up with a beetle for them, Sawyer? So
whoa.
I'll let you guys
beat you to it.
Okay, I'm going to walk in the stable and present my egg to the first person I see.
I'm going to realize it's probably really aggressive to be like gripping Margie's hand and I don't want to freak her out. So I'm going to pull my hand away and I can't make up my mind about like I'm trying to keep an eye on her, but I'm trying to not make it weird. And I freak out and I run up to the counter.
Margie like doesn't seem like to be overthinking the situation at all. Like she is like not
so
worried. She is not worried.
Okay.
You guys walk into the stables and you guys see down the way some like horse heads peeking out of these like very large stables. And you guys hear like into the back like some like flapping of wings. And you guys can assume that these horses may not just be horses. They might be Pegasus. You also like a sign above the entryway that you walked in. There was like a horse with wings. But you guys don't see anybody in the stables.
I take my egg out of my pack on my back and I like stand in the middle of like the Pegasus heads and I just like hold it up to see if any of them like claim it. I go, hey, is this anybody's here?
Like a white Pegasus sniffs it and then like nibbles on it a little bit. She doesn't like take a bite, but she kind of like starts like looks
no,
like she's trying to nip
sign.
At it. And then she like whinnies a little bit and like shakes her head, but then she like steps back and then you see like a
Not
couple
yours.
Other... horses lean in and then you see like a little bit of like a little red like Appaloosa lean her head in and like sniffs it and then like gives it like a lick and then she like shakes her head and like, whinnies a little bit and like you can see now that like she like flaps her wings.
Whoa.
Okay, I take it this is your egg?
The horse doesn't talk. It just like snorts at you.
Hello, we have your eggs.
Give me perception checks, everyone.
18.
One.
Sawyer's talking.
Keeping an eye on Margie.
Yeah, she's keeping an eye on Margie, and she's also talking to one of the Pegasuses. Yeah. The Pegasi.
As you're like, she's walking forward, you're walking sideways, like crab walking, trying to keep your eyes on.
Like
it.
A little creep.
I would say, as Beans is like, was trying to find one of the, like, the home for one of the eggs, I think Esta's a little bit more like, hey, we gotta deliver these eggs.
That's what I'm doing, Esta.
Esther, you're looking around and you see down one of the rows is like an open door, and there's a big, tall woman leaning out of it. She looks to be like a half-orc, and she seems to be laughing at something. And then you see like she turns to come in, and you see like a smaller elven woman behind her with like dark black hair. The elven woman leaves, and she's like small for an elf. She leaves, and then the big, tall, orcish woman turns around smiling with like a loaf of bread and like a basket of little cheese and meats, and she's walking back in, and she has like a long brown braid. She's got like tall riding boots, and she goes, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Hi, are you the Adventuring Academy kids?
Yes, we have the eggs for you.
Wow, you guys got here pretty quick.
Thank you. Yeah,
we're pretty good.
Great, yeah. She puts her stuff down behind her counter.
Does this one belong to this one?
Yeah, let's see. She takes the egg from you and lets the horse sniff it and lick it.
Your theory was right.
She opens up the gate and puts it down on like the straw in there. And then the horse like lays down next to the egg and like puts her wing over the egg. And then kind of one by one, you guys give the eggs out. Do you guys kind of like want to describe like what this looks like? You guys are free to...
Oh boy.
Yeah. I want to, so I'm guessing that the Pegasus and the eggs all kind of have different colors.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to try to match the color of my egg to the Pegasus. I have no idea if that's how it works. but I'm going to go find a similarly colored Pegasus, and do Beans' strategy of kind of like holding it. I think I would have to hold it like directly above my head to be high enough for the horse to reach it.
Well, what color do you think your egg is?
I'm like lifting it up. Well, I'm sure if we got to choose our eggs, I would choose a green one. So
a green Pegasus?
Yeah, I go up to the greenest horse.
Yeah.
And I hold it up.
The horse accepts the egg.
Yes!
Wow.
Okay, I guess I just kind of tuck it in, and then I reach a hand slowly up to touch the horse on the nose.
It leans down to let you touch it.
Beans has been sitting in the stall with the Pegasus that he gave the egg and just like petting its face. He's just hanging out with it.
It's being very nice and letting you.
Oh, I have like a speckled, like gray, silvery egg. Mm. And I give it to, I find like a speckled gray, silvery Pegasus. And I go, I love Pegasi. I always wanted one as a kid. And my parents said we couldn't have one.
Whoa.
You guys see Margie has her egg, and she's the only one who hasn't found a horse for it yet. And then you see the stable woman walks over. And at this point, you guys have like talked with her and been conversing. Her name is Rija. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's gonna be an interesting one. Oh. And she takes you all back down one of the hallways towards the end, and there's kind of like a bigger metal door. You guys hear a little bit of like snorting and kicking from it, and she goes, she just doesn't like new people, but I think we're just gonna want to like, she like opens a little hatch at the bottom of the door and like scoots the egg in, and you guys see some like fiery hooves at the bottom of the hatch, and like you guys can't see out like into the stall, and it just says like, nightmare beware, like very hot, does not like anybody who's not Rija. And she like slides the egg in there, and then you hear like a happy whinny happen in that, and she closes the hatch.
Whoa.
She goes, all right.
Rija?
Yeah.
Yes, Rija. Can I call you Rija?
Of course, yeah, for sure.
Okay, I have a question. How did these eggs get separated from their Pegasuses?
Well, that's the funny thing about Pegasus eggs, is that they fly to a continent, and we assume that they do what Pegasus do. I don't know how old you guys are.
We get the picture.
Enough to, okay, tell us the next part of the story.
And then, I have no idea what you're talking
about. Pegasus's lay their eggs in a location. What? And Pegasuses are becoming a little bit extinct because of this kind of crazy mating and laying egg situation. The lovely people at the Avenging Academy go out and search and find the eggs and then deliver them to us. We don't know. We believe maybe a long time ago, Pegasuses were able to hatch by themselves, kind of like a sea turtle thing, and be raised by themselves in the wild. But we think that now, you know, after probably the war and everything, natural life has changed, and we don't know what's out there. We don't know where the Pegasuses go, so we don't know what kind of dangers they don't know they're putting their children into, but this is the process we do now.
How did you become a Pegasus
expert
farmer?
Family business. Just been doing it since my dad, and then his dad, and then his mom.
What do you do with them when they're not off laying eggs and then receiving their eggs?
Well,
can we ride one?
You know, maybe later. You know, we'd have to get them saddled, and
dang it.
It is a very, very difficult process to ride.
Well, we're meeting some people for tea. So
yeah, maybe you guys can come back after then, and we can try to work something out. Pegasus are very picky.
oh, really?
Well, yes. I think mine liked me.
Oh, yeah. I was going to try to ride the green one. So now I'm glad I didn't climb up there.
Hey, can I ride the one behind this metal door? I think we might be a similar vibe.
Yeah. You guys go have lunch, and I will see who is feeling right today, and I'll get them maybe saddled up, and at least I'll have you walk them around and let them fly out in the back pen.
Oh, okay.
Deal.
But yeah, you guys can come right back or whatever. Well, I don't want to keep y'all from your lunch.
It was nice to meet you, Reja.
Nice to meet you all. And she goes back and it starts like cleaning out some of the stalls.
One thing before you go. I noticed that somebody was giving you bread and stuff before you left. Was that the famous author that lives here?
Are you talking about Griscilla?
Yes.
No.
No,
that was someone else.
Who was that?
That was my friend Sheik.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just nosy.
Yeah. Give me an insight check.
14.
A little twinge of sadness in her voice as she talks about Griscilla. She did say Griscilla.
Yeah.
She did not say Priscilla.
A twinge of sadness.
I don't know. Maybe.
Just big fan of her work. Is she?
Are you?
Crazy thing to admit.
Are you old enough to be reading that?
Reading what? I've just read the whole like Under the Skin self-help one.
Beans here does a lot of looking at pictures. No.
Whoa. Okay. So he's looking at. Okay. Well, you don't have to. You know what? Let's stop talking about it.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know how to read. Somebody told me the name, and it's a book I have. So I just thought I would meet her, and maybe she could teach me how to read.
Yeah. None of us really read any. None of us have read any amount of them at all. So. Oh.
Okay. Those two can read. I can confirm that.
Well.
We had to. It was for research.
Is she still here?
Sheiker.
No. Griscilla.
No, she's not.
Oh.
She's not here.
What happened to her?
Like in town? Like in Cato?
I'm sorry if, you know, you were fans of hers or something like that, but
Sawyer's big fan, yeah.
Yeah. Well, she passed away a couple months ago.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, so sorry to bother you.
No problem. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but you guys come back after lunch, and we'll try to get you on some Pegasuses. See if we can brighten those spirits.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say: never meet your heroes anyway. So,
sorry, kid.
I just thought maybe she could teach me how to read.
I taught you like 5 letters today.
So it's called acting. Look it up.
What? You're lying?
Not lying. Acting. Difference.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Esther, are you okay?
Esther's eyes are full of tears as she's walking out of the barn.
No, I choose my only lead.
Well, maybe
we can still go to her house and still try and...
And snoop and around.
Snoop.
I guess it's not breaking in if you're related to her, right?
I guess it's not breaking in if she's dead. Sorry.
Let's talk to Chet's parents about it.
Okay. This is, you know, the second relative that you've learned you had and you hadn't met them, but then they died.
The track record is not looking good.
I'm really sorry.
I don't know what's worse. A dead relative.
Tara might be alive.
Tara might be alive.
So and Priscilla might too. So, you know, maybe
she faked her death.
Yeah. That's what I would do if I was a cool and mysterious.
Is that anything?
Yeah. That's something.
Well, hey, at least your relatives aren't like showing up in the street eating your like fish off a stick and like scaring you or anything.
Huh? Huh?
Anyway, let's go. Beans goes walking towards the weather.
I'm gonna actually ask for more elaboration on that one.
Huh?
Did you see Apple again?
Meow.
Beans, it doesn't work.
Don't
on
you
us.
Pull that meow shit on us.
Fuck. Yeah, she was back there. She took my fucking fish on a stick.
Now I'm really gonna kill her.
Oh, she was taunting you.
This checks out.
What does she want Margie for anyway?
Well, I think the only person who can answer that is Margie.
Told her everything she needs to know, and she decided not to tell us yet.
Okay, that's fine. Well, then what the fuck you want me to do? Go to Apple and ask? Oh, I could just go to Apple and ask.
No, it means no.
Oh, Apple didn't tell me.
Seems like Apple probably is enjoying this state that you're in.
I could try to like manipulate Apple back, but like
we could prank her.
Oh,
seems like she might have the upper hand.
Yeah,
there.
I don't think a prank would be answered with kindness or also a prank. Know what I mean?
Well, I bet Chet's family has a house with a lot of natural light, so
she can move in the light and the dark. That's the scary part. It's not like Briar Knight.
Oh, well.
You can't keep her at bay with a lantern.
So where do you guys go?
To their house lunch and tea.
As you guys are walking towards their house, you guys remember the directions. You guys go down the street, go take a right, go to the first house, the second house on the right. Beans, you see sitting on top of the house in a dark cloak is Apple.
I just couldn't go. Like, see, she's right there. And I point my little finger at her.
As you guys look up, you guys see just like kind of like wind taking a cloak away.
Oh,
great. Now she's going the gaslighting method. I knew she would do this. She was there. Do you guys believe me?
Yes.
You
saw her? She wants us to think. She wants us to think that you're crazy.
I believe you.
But I've my pupils are dilated. I'm like, I know you're not.
She was there. Margie, keep your eyes peeled. She's close. She did say that. I could give, she said she'll be waiting for me to like volunteer Margie at any time.
Oh, what? So no, you,
I don't think that you've said this yet.
So you have like, you, it's like a contract? Like you have power over Apple to stop her from taking her?
No, it seems more like
you give her up or she'll take her.
Yeah. Or more like she's going to torment us until we get sick of it and give Margie up, or we let our guard down and she can just take. Yeah, maybe what you said, Esther.
Okay.
So it's
just like in
you?
A scarier way. I mean, you could give her, I guess. I don't
know. What? No, Beans, you can't do it. You can't do
I'm
it.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying that's what she said. She's not like hunting and waiting to nab her. She's like.
So she can't get her unless you give her up.
I don't know, but she didn't know I was going to be on the ship and she was just going to take her. I think
it has nothing to do
with
Beans.
I don't think this is contract. I think this is just fun game for Apple to fuck with us. If I know anything about
she's
Apple.
Toying with Beans.
And probably you guys, so.
Okay.
Watch out. You see Big Tabaxi with red eyes?
Just fucking freaking me out.
Watch out. She's in black cloak. She will steal your fish on a stick. Fuck her for that. Jesus.
Do you guys go into the house?
Yes.
You guys open the door and you see a family of turtles in there and they go,
"Oh, sorry.
Are you guys looking for the weather feathers?
Yes.
Yes.
They're on the lower building.
And you guys close the door and look back and see that there's like a building going down. You guys take a little ladder and then open that door. Oh, and
holy shit. For a second, I thought they pranked us and sent us to the wrong house.
So I guess that happens a lot. They were ready.
Those poor turtles.
You guys see that the weather for this house is actually like three stories going down, and the middle has been cut out of it. So there's no like solid floors. Like you can see all the way down to the bottom. At the bottom there is a, but there's like walkways on the sides, and there's a little like kind of like bird perches, but with ladders. So they can be accessible to non-flying folk. Mm. At the bottom there is like a little dinner table and a kitchen where, the weather feathers are working, and like finishing up lunch, and they're pouring tea. You guys see on one of the landings is like what seems to be some kind of, kids' room where there's like a Good Berries poster. There's a pirate ship bed. There's some speech and debate trophies.
What? Is this Chet's room?
Oh yeah, no, that's Chet's room for sure. There's dirty laundry in the hamper.
He probably wouldn't mind if we took a look around in here.
Oh my god, speech and debate. Was he good?
Yeah, no, he was
incredible.
And I
only know that because Sawyer read it out loud.
Yeah, he was, Chet was pretty good at speech and debate. He doesn't like to talk about it, but he was really, really good.
And a Good Berries fan.
Yeah, Good Berries. You know, I don't like really not particularly listen to some of their music. I think it's a little bit too much for me, but I'm not one to judge.
They say they're the new Journey.
Oh, really?
I have never heard.
One day I'm going to see them live.
Oh, me too.
I have never really heard like music. Oh, other than when we went to that party and then everybody got poisoned. So
they played like one Good Berries song before everyone
got poisoned. What did it sound like? Which one was it?
Whoa. We're halfway there. Whoa.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah.
You guys sit at the dinner table and you guys, there's salad, there's tea, and you and the crew of the Southern Wind are all sitting down eating with Mr. and Mrs. Weatherfeather.
I don't want to be rude, but do you have anything with some extra protein in it?
Yeah, I think I do. She takes down some like mushrooms.
I love mushrooms.
She sautés some mushrooms, chops them up, throws them on your salad.
Thank you. Sorry, I really got to, you know. I'm a fighter, so.
No, totally fine. Gotta keep it going. I get it.
Gotta, you know, stay with it.
Esther sits down and she goes, I forgot a gift.
I look through the bag.
What's wrong, kiddos?
Oh, nothing. Nothing.
We just wanted to tell you, we brought you this, what do we have?
Did you lose something in your bag?
No, it's a, it's just dust. It's just dust in here.
I got nothing.
Well, all right. I mean, did you guys go to your stable? Did you guys finish your quest?
We did.
Wonderful.
I slip. I already gave away my green face paint. I slip reluctantly my gold face paint to Esta.
It's okay. I think the weather feathers want that.
I think it's the right thing
to
do.
No, it's okay. The weather feathers don't want it.
Mr. and Mrs. Weatherfeather?
No.
Thank you so much for hosting us. A tear slips down my cheek.
No, Sawyer, it's okay.
We brought this for you.
Mr. and Mrs. Weatherfeather, I would like to sincerely apologize. Thank you so much for hosting us in your beautiful home. I forgot to bring you a gift.
Oh, no. This is Esta. Oh, Esta's just being polite. She gave this to me to give to you.
All right. No, Kate. Okay. No, you kids. We don't need a gift.
I was thinking I could just help do the dishes when lunch is done.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
I will do the dishes when lunch is over.
That'd be great.
Over.
If you guys could just do the dishes.
So many dishes.
That'd be sweet.
I pocket the face paint. I swipe it back in.
Lunch finishes up. You guys have your tea. You guys are doing dishes.
Oh, you know what? We were just thinking. Chet told us that there's an album of pictures of him as a baby, and he always wishes he could show it to his friends.
That's true.
I didn't think that he would want to show you guys, but if he said
he
so.
Stop talking about how.
She pulls out an album with a bunch of like little baby Chet pics. There's one with
is she
like,
narrating them?
Oh yeah, she's narrating. She's like, this is.
I crank up the speaking.
Yeah.
I can hear everything.
She's like, and this is the one where he actually slipped down and then he was naked. Aww. And he's a little baby. But he's a baby. And then in this one, he's a baby. And then in this one, this one is super embarrassing. This is whenever he went to his first speech and debate tournament, and then he didn't bring his binder with him. And so we had to bring him back, but I wanted to snap a pic just for the memes.
His feathers look so fluffy.
Yeah. Oh, he's very fluffy. He's very round, like a tiny beak.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like stealthily holding the speaking stone so that all the narration is.
You hear like
him.
A stop.
I adjust that volume so like slowly he fades stop. Away.
Oh, that must have been something about something else.
Oh yeah, no, what was that? No, okay, that's fine.
Sorry, that's just our ringtone.
Oh, that's a horrifying ringtone.
Gotta get your attention somehow.
Sounded like a mix of fear and desperation.
This is good. Question, did he, like, was he born annoying or, like, did he get that way later?
You can't say that about someone's child.
Well, I'll say, you know, Chet, he is a real piece of work.
I was like, you don't think parents think you're annoying? So you need to have a real conversation with your mom and dad then.
My mom and dad do not think I'm annoying.
I do need to have a real conversation with my parents.
Yeah, you're talking about seeing annoying. She goes to weasel me.
Yeah, what could be more annoying
not
than
that?
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Anyway, back to the question. Was he born annoying or was he made into that?
He's a bit of a yapper. He actually got into magic tricks.
No.
He kind of has
tricks.
He's had a bit, you know, of a, you know, every phase. He goes through a lot of phases. Big phase kid. Well, you know, I think he just wants some attention. And, you know, sometimes I worry about myself. I mean, you know, I'm like, did I not give you enough attention? But, you know, I went to all of his magic shows. I went to all of his speech and debate tournaments. I tried to support him all I could. But
God bless you.
You know, it's
no, being sure.
Oh,
Kai told us not to say
that. That's super weird. Why'd you say that? But she goes, yeah, you know what? But you know what? Chet's going to Chet. And I think he's at an age now where he's just trying to figure it out.
You know,
but I mean, did he do anything bad? I mean,
oh, not if he's doing,
if he's
bad.
If he's being bad, then I got to get on him.
Oh, well, actually, I was going to say, you know, as someone who really, you know, recognizes leadership skills because I have so many of them, Chet is the leader of his team at Brimstone.
That horrifies me, to be honest. I don't think
I'm going to be honest. I thought Nails was more of the leader, but maybe misinterpretation.
Really?
He's certainly the most confident of the three. Chet is. Mm.
That is true.
I make sure the speaking stone is muted so Chet can never hear me admit this. Okay, well,
he helped
better...
save a whole town
what?
On his quest. I don't know if he's
oh, yeah, and he saved us from falling out of the sky.
But,
yeah.
Well, I mean, he did call me on the speaking stone earlier to tell me that he overheard. Don't know how he overheard you guys talking about this, but he heard that you guys were heading to Kato. And he didn't mention anything about saving a town.
He did.
Okay, well... Sons, what are you going to do?
Did he mention anything about dating anybody?
You know, he didn't. No.
Good.
Maybe he's a private guy.
He's trying to start rumors.
Oh, that's not good.
No, you should get on them for that. No yeah, rumor nope. spreading.
I'll certainly have a talk with him about that.
Yes.
Anyway, that's about all the good things I could say about Chet for a lifetime. I'm still getting over the fact that I think boys are gross. Beans has helped me a little bit. And then the Brimstone boys, I can't decide if they sent me back or they continued me on my journey.
I'm going to be honest. He's ranked 2 or 3 if I had to rank his group of friends. Wendell, number 1.
Oh, wow.
Of gross boys.
You know, I've heard a little bit about Wendell. You know, I'm not going to lie. Chet has talked a little bit about Wendell.
Oh.
He has?
Yeah, seems like a really bright kid.
So he talked about Wendell, but not saving the town?
No, he talked about Nails a little bit. He talked about Wendell a little bit more. And
I have been doing some research. And by research, I mean reading. And by reading, I mean investigation. And some of that has opened my eyes to some things.
Oh.
And
could you elaborate?
All right, kid, what are you about to talk about in my household?
Yeah. Wait, is that anything bad?
Oh, okay.
Never mind. I'll say it later. You're his mom, so I can't say it in front of you.
You know, I'd like to keep Chet's, you know, personal life. You know, he's gonna, you know, he's a grown boy. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, you made this weird, Sawyer.
Yeah.
What?
You hear.
I was just gonna say that maybe he had a little crush on Wendell.
You hear Buddy Weatherfeather in the back go like whenever you said it, you made it a little weird in here. Buddy Weatherfeather in the back on like his lazy boy recliner is like, yeah.
Anyway,
never mind.
Quick question. You go.
I don't mean this. Maybe this might be also make it a little weird in here. But I made it
weird on purpose so that what you're about to say wouldn't be weird.
Okay.
I can see right through.
Making it weird here. Weird alert. Now that we're in the weird zone.
I'm looking for someone, and Chet mentioned that they might be a neighbor of yours.
Give me a name. You got plenty of neighbors.
Priscilla Ruidon? Or she's also known by her pen name, Griscilla Ruidoux.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about her body of work.
No, of course not. We can keep it not weird like that.
We can keep it totally not weird.
Sora is a big fan.
Risha.
Oh, Billy. I'm sorry. I've read a couple myself.
Slay. Risha at the stables mentioned that she recently passed away. Is this true?
That she did.
Did you, not to be insensitive, see the body, go to the funeral?
Beans.
No, I heard that she got sick and they took her to the hospital and she never came back. I mean, she passed away in the hospital.
How old was she? She was very young. For an elf, for sure.
Yeah, for an elf, for sure. You know what? She had a couple hundred more years for her.
Did she have any kids?
No, no kids.
Did any relatives come by after she passed away?
She looks over at Buddy Weatherfeather, and Buddy Weatherfeather looks at her. And give me persuasion check.
19.
She is survived by her fiance, who still lives at the house.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. You can maybe go talk with her. Her name is Sheik.
Uh-oh.
And, but I know that it's a very sore subject with her.
I'm sure.
But, yeah.
Sorry, that's going to make me cry. It's going to make Campbell cry. oh, God. Okay.
Mrs. Weatherfeather, how good are your defenses of this house?
I'm sorry, what?
Defenses? I was just thinking maybe we could leave Team Southern Wind here. In the protection of a not open space.
I don't know. I think we're on this quest together. What do you guys think?
Margie goes, I'm good to go wherever. I'm not scared of this. I don't mean to insult your family, Beans, but I'm not scared of anybody. I'm looking to fight whoever. But if you guys think it is a good decision that we stay here, I will leave that up to you guys.
This is way beyond what our quest requires. So even though we're on the quest together, you know, we accomplished. We delivered the Pegasus eggs and we did it. And this is kind of a whole separate thing.
Yeah. I mean, we can head back to the ship or something.
Oh, I wasn't saying that. I just didn't want you guys to feel, you know, pressure to come up
Toby goes,
with us on our crazy thing.
We'll face anything coming our way.
And then Lee goes, yeah, I'm down to fuck. So.
Whoa.
What?
Lee? What?
Wait.
I mean, like, fucking, like, get down to...
Like you're fucking down?
Like, I'm fucking down.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry, Mrs. Weatherfeather.
Mrs. Weatherfeather goes, it's fine. You know, everybody has, like, a 10 curse count in the house. That's just kind of the rules we have here.
Oh, shit. 10.
Yeah.
Shit. Fuck. Damn. Okay.
Oh, what? That's 3.
Ass.
That's 4.
Beans.
You're running out of curses there, kid.
Do, like, worse ones count for more?
Nope. There's just one.
Cunt.
You know what? That's two strikes. That's two strikes on you. Where did you learn that, mister?
Oh my god.
Let's just say I've met a few imps in my day.
We met a bunch of imps and they were all kissing each other.
And they said that word?
They said a lot of words and they did a lot of things.
You can go back to that episode, I never said that word.
Yeah, because if you said it, you'd be canceled.
Yeah, I wouldn't be on the show. I'm going to say out of game. It's up to y'all if y'all want to bring the Southern Wind crew with you.
Well, I was already nervous about going to see Priscilla Ruidon anyways. Just bothering her with my... She doesn't have to help me. So now I'm panicking even more about having to try and ask her widow about this and bother her about this because she doesn't have to give a shit about me for sure.
Yeah, and we are not the best at asking people sensitive questions.
So I don't want to bring any more people than completely necessary.
Why do you keep looking at me when you say that?
No, I'm not. I'm looking at the weasel. Excuse me. I'm looking at our other party questmates.
Holy shit, did you just call them weasels?
They are weasels.
They're weasel bees.
Wait, isn't your mascot the weasel? Oh yeah, the weasel bees.
The weasel bees.
The weasel bee weasel bees.
Carry the path forward into
and
the
light.
Light
on,
and may the
and path, unto the light and, may you and return.
The path behind you is way bright, is not as bright as the path you make ahead of you.
Yep, that's
yep.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Esta, I think you should go because what if maybe this is exactly what she needs, like a connection to her? I mean, it could go bad and then we should just like skedaddle out of there. But like it could go good or maybe she has answers. I don't know. I think it's worth a try.
We could be close by in case we heard a big crash in the house.
Yeah, I'd rather just bring you two with me rather than springing six people on her. So,
that's just what I was thinking.
You guys stay here, but everyone, please stick together. Please don't split up from a margin.
Yeah, and don't go any dark shadows. Oh, and I give them the light, the lantern.
The lantern? They take the lantern.
Just in case something weird happens. Is it effective against magical darkness?
Here, take one of our speaking stones and...
Yeah, you give them one of your speaking
stones. Yeah, and call us if anything weird happens.
If you say Mayday, we'll know it's bad.
Well, come running.
Cool. All right. That sounds really good. Speaking stone. We'll stay hunkered down here.
You guys are on dish duty. Be kind to your host. Oh. Bye.
We're ding dong dishing. We're dish ditching.
Leaving the dishes.
Did a few of them, didn't we?
And we offered the face paint.
You guys.
I run out of the house.
Equivalent to doing the dishes.
You guys run out of the house.
Oh, wait. Where does she live?
She lives, just keep going down our block. It'll be the, I think, fifth house on the left.
I sign love ya back at Margie in our signal, our Arcano Ball signal language.
She sends it back. You guys go out of the house and you guys see that it is getting more towards about like, it's almost like you guys had a late lunch. It's like 4:30 right now. Like,
Can I look to see if I see Apple anywhere around?
Yeah.
How long does it look like we have before the sun goes down?
Maybe like a couple hours.
Dirty 20.
You see, as you guys are like making your way towards the residence of Sheik and Priscilla, Beans sees a group of knights walking down the street. And the streets are getting a little bit more empty. And you see like a knight in the back gets like pulled into a dark alley and just disappears.
Do the other knights notice?
No, he's like a knight in the back.
She's close, everyone. Don't trust anyone in knight's armor. She might be putting it on.
I kind of wish we had that light now.
Well, she can move in darkness and light, so don't think it will matter.
Oh, yeah. I keep getting her mixed up with
I think the Briar Knight, I don't think he came with us. I think he has to like literally travel by Shadow. Like,
yeah.
Like, that would make sense.
Not like he can't like morph from Shadow to Shadow. I think.
Huh?
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, Esta, lead the way, and then Beans and I are gonna just
keep our eyes peeled.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fucking on to you, Apple.
I walk up to Sheik's door.
You guys see this quaint home. Nothing in particularly stands out about this house. Two stories, like a lot of the houses around here, but they're very skinny houses. And there's like a little just like knocker.
I knock the door.
Give me perception checks.
16.
8. 1.
I'm locked in.
Sawyer thinks y'all are at the wrong house.
Guys, I don't think this is it.
I'm just staring behind us.
Yeah, we definitely went the wrong way.
Esta, you hear some like stuff clattering, like some like fast moving, like a trip almost. Even maybe so there was like some like fast moving before you got to the door. And you hear a knock, and then you hear like some like dum, 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 like steps come down. And then you hear like a bunch of locks being unlocked.
Jesus.
And the door creaks open, and you see Esther, you saw her earlier, the same woman who was at the stables, a very small elf. She is an elf, but with like dark black hair, very pale face. And she goes, yes, hello.
Hi, my name is Esta Ruadon. I'm so sorry to bother you. I was wondering if I could ask you a few questions about Priscilla.
She looks you up and down, looks at Beans, looks at Sawyer.
I give a wave. Yeah, me too.
And then she just opens the door for you and shows you in.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I like nudge Sawyer and I go, do you think that was like really easy?
I don't know. I'm just going to copy whatever Esta does.
Okay, I'll keep quiet, but I feel weird.
And she brings you guys upstairs. Like there's like stairs like right at the front of the door. She brings you all upstairs and there's like a table with like two chairs, drags over like a stool and another chair. Sit.
Yes. I'll be honest with you. I was expecting to talk to Priscilla today. A couple hours ago, found out about her passing, so I am so sorry for your loss.
Give me perception checks.
13.
8.
Oh, 3.
The house is a little bit of a mess. Some stuff has been, like, strewn about. And Esta, give me an insight check also on top of that perception. This is for something else.
Do I notice with the 13, do I notice anything in particular? Like maybe like food stuff or like papers, like because she's an author.
I would say, yeah. Like there's like some books in a corner, papers all around. You see also that there is like a bag with, I'll say like some like rope hanging out of it.
Okay.
That looks like she just dropped it there. You see Sheik goes, so are you wanting any books?
No. This isn't quite I'm not just a fangirl. I've read a couple of them that were given to us by a friend, but one of them, first the Ruadon pen name on the books caught my eye. My name is Ruadon, and then I found out that her real name was Priscilla Ruadon.
Well, I heard that you said Ruadon earlier.
Yeah.
You hear her very quietly say something. It looks like she starts like doing the dishes, even though it looks like the dishes have just been there for a long time. She starts like doing the dishes, and then she just says like, "Leon Trekya." And you hear very faintly, you know, that is Elvish speak. And she kind of mumbles it at first. And then you feel, Esta, like in your stomach, like something turn. And you hear like in your pocket, the mirror that you have kind of like rumbles a little bit. And you hear like Theodrix's voice in your head.
Something smells weird.
And she looks at you, Esta, and she has a knife in her hand.
Oh.
And she says, Luin Drekia, which you know in your head means blue blood. That's Luin Iar, blue blood. But track in the middle of it is shit. And this woman jumps at you with her hand, with a knife in one hand, and her other hand, fire erupts from it. And you feel that Theodrix inside of you, in your soul, squirms at the smell of the blood of his sister. You know that this is Priscilla Ruadon. And that is where we will end.
I fucking knew it.
Fuck!
Knew it was her.
Thank you so much for listening to Gals and Goblins. Make sure to tune in next week to Study Break, where we will be talking about this episode. Join our Discord. Sign up for our Patreon.
Follow us on social media. Leave a comment.
Offer Esther your condolences.
If you're on Spotify. Discord.
Go to our YouTube channel. Subscribe. Ooh, yeah. See what's there.
Yeah. Some silly stuff. Some shenanigans.
Silly goofy times.
Yep.
Some silly stuff. Oh. No.
Okay. Is that it?
I guess.
If there's something more that we can record it later.
My God.
Okay.
Tune into the study break.
Tune into the study break. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.